There you have it, folks. Folks at home, welcome back. I hope you're having a wonderful Saturday night. I know we are. This is an early show tonight, Beck, which is nice. Like, right now I feel like it could be 10 o'clock, when in fact it's only 8 p.m.
Wow.
How about that?
Dude, we started at 8.
We were late.
We didn't start at 8. That was
it is 8.
Late.
Jeez, dude.
We were 15 minutes late. It wasn't that bad.
Time drags.
Let me remind you, if you're watching over on Facebook, please like and share the feed. If you do that, we're going to put you in a contest to win the world-famous Ike Life gift bag loaded with sponsor products. Weighs about 20 to 30 pounds.
300.
Share that feed. You're going to be entered to win that contest. Also, encourage you, man, if you got questions, comments during the show, we've got some great guests coming up, please shoot them through. Paul, shoot them messages through. We're going to get them through. And if your question's really good, Brian, we got stuff laying around. If the question's really, really good.
That's right.
We'll get your address. And
where's
we'll
Becky's pig
stuff.
Behind there? David over there?
We got Beck's hog. We got Dave's hair piece from the skit we did.
Somebody could win it.
Back. What I do? There's your hair piece back there. That's still there. So we got a lot of stuff we can give away.
I don't even remember wearing that.
Yeah.
Island Boy.
Island Boy.
Oh, God.
I forgot that like an assault victim.
I know. Brian,
looks like I know.
Becky, PVP. Oh, God. Sorry about the title.
Look at all that. It's totally.
Oh, do it again. Do it again. I liked it.
The ruckus?
What was all that?
I want to be Pete.
All that. Pete, Becky, PVP bras.
Hold on. Let's just roll like that. All night long.
Mark Jeffries. Hey, everybody. I'm retired. Been tired for about a minute.
So, Paul. Paul, you've kind of branded the Powerbait Paul thing is really taken on, I would say locally and nationally to a certain extent.
It's catchy.
Do you like this new, the PBP? Do you like the acronym? You like that too?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
It's up there with GDP and BTC.
It is.
Wow.
It is, wow.
GDP, well, gross domestic product? Like, what are you even talking about?
Greg Dan Palmer.
Well, BTC has a guy, so you could also have one hat and one shirt.
Yes.
I didn't even know Greg DePalma was GDP. I did.
Paul, I'm already scheming your logo. I'm already, in my mind, I'm already thinking.
What are you thinking about?
Well, the only thing I'm thinking of is if we actually created a logo, we came out with merch and all that, would if we use the term power bait, would it be infringement?
Yes.
Would we be worried? Should we be worried?
Hold on a second. Let's
not go down the legalese way. Let's talk about what his logo would be.
A big giant hook with a red goatee hanging off the back of it.
Yes!
I
like it.
You were looking at me with disdain, and now you like me.
No. I'm thinking like Red Porco or something like that.
Yeah, like a big giant silver hook with a red goatee hanging off the ass of it.
Black Jig Pink Pork.
What is your logo?
BTC.
BTC.
I thought there would be more of like a carpenter reference.
I didn't make it.
Carpentry.
Yeah. The T could be a hammer.
Yeah.
A saw. Maybe a saw somewhere.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
And Paul, we could always pull in the Jurassic Park.
T could have been a hammer.
Yeah.
So it could be Paul's head on a T-Rex.
I kind of like that with a
rod in his hand.
Yes.
Right.
And we can use the similar font
and a guardrail behind me.
And the guardrail.
Right. Right.
This is the guardrail guardian.
Yep. Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yes, I love it.
But that really is a good question though. If that would be a copyright infringement, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a terrible question.
How about
a no trespassing sign with a big orange goatee?
Yes.
That's a
with
good
a guardrail under it.
Oh. Yes.
Now, let me tell you, though, in all seriousness.
So I'm really curious about it.
Paul, let me tell you the sure bet way around the trademark copyright infringement.
Have McGraw draw it?
No.
Which is different.
What our good friend Ed Bassmaster did, which is Ed Bassmaster's last name is actually Bassmaster now.
He legally changed
his last name. So, Paul, if you legally change your first name to Power Bait.
Yes.
Your mother will be so proud.
They can't do nothing about it.
Listen, we can do this. We have a legal team here at Pro Edge.
We're doing this.
So you're keeping the Paul. We're just legally adding
to
Power
it.
Bait to your name. Think about this, Paul.
But Paul just became his middle name.
Well, it can become his middle name.
Yeah.
I like it better as his middle name.
Paul, you drink yet? You're still not drinking? Maybe tonight?
I might need one after all this.
You're lucky Brian don't go out no more. You'd already been drinking.
All right. Enough of the ridiculousness here. Brian, I am very excited about our next guest. If you follow fishing like I do, you know these names. And it was bittersweet for me because last week I wanted to captain. I was captaining Vegas at the Junior Youth National Championship. But I really wanted to be on the Upper Susquehanna. I love that fishery, and I love fishing the Hobie BOS event. So I got to watch from afar, history in the making. And we had two brothers finish first and second, which is pretty freaking awesome. Joining us now via what? How do we have them patched in here? Is this like satellite? What is this?
Yeah, electronics.
Via electronics. We've got the Miner Clan, Nolan, Ewing, and Todd. Dad is Todd's the dad. Hi, guys. Hi.
Hey. Oh, can y'all see us now? I don't know. How's it going?
How you doing tonight?
Doing all right. Just sitting down after work. Actually got off of work earlier to come join on the show.
Heck nice. Yeah.
What do you do?
I work at Bass Pro.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm amazed they let you off early. Did you tell them what you were going to do?
Yeah, they would have kept you if they knew you were going to do the Ike Live show.
This is true.
I told my boss, I said, so I'm supposed to go on Ike Live at 7, and I was scheduled to work until 9, and he said, all right, just make sure someone else is here and you're fine.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
That's not bad. Now, there's a little bit of a tie-in here real quick. When I was a young man, around these guys' age, I worked at Dick's Sporting Goods in the lodge. So very similar. Do you feel like working at Bass Pro, is that helping you in your career of fishing? Is it just a good gig or using it as a springboard?
It's just something to do. It's pretty close by. Okay. Decent. Good discount, and it's really our management at our particular store is great, and as far as getting off for tournaments, school, they're understanding about that, and that's the main reason I work there.
That's awesome. I feel like those same things for me when I worked at Dick's, but I honestly feel like looking back on it, it was a great introduction to like dealing with the public. With the general public, it was a great introduction to working with people and, you know, talking about products. You know what I mean? Like, I was still pretty young.
I remember as a kid wishing that I lived near a Bass Pro that I could walk to.
Oh, I know.
It'd be like a devout Catholic wanting to live next to the Vatican. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to actually, go to one and not order.
I mean, remember,
we used to have to call the operator and give the codes to the things you were ordering.
Catalogs were king back then.
Dude, you couldn't wait for that new catalog.
And they were those little old Southern ladies, and they had no idea what you were talking about. So you had to have
the order number.
Yeah.
You had the item
number. And they were long, too, dude.
Oh, yeah.
There was letters and numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I wish I worked at a Bass Pro when I was a kid.
Have you ever had anyone come in the Bass Pro shops and asked for a lure or a rod or a reel for carpies?
I have not.
Okay.
But I work in the marine department and sell, electronics. But
okay.
I'm sure the fishing department, they have a few interesting stories about stuff like that.
Yeah, I've had a few of those myself. Guys, I want to jump right into it. Let's talk about last week up at the Susquehanna. Amazing fishery, low water. Talk about it. I want to hear from all three of you guys. How was the event? How was the fishing? Did practice turn into how you caught them, or was it something that just happened?
Yeah, practice was pretty good, and fishing during the tournament was good as well. Ewing's practice was kind of tougher than mine was, but I was there for a little longer than he was. I got there on Wednesday. And since we're brothers and we're trying to do the whole information sharing thing and working together, I was able to kind of steer him into the right direction when things, cause he's, he got second place there last year.
Yeah.
Water was way different. He went back to the same area and stuff. Just, he wasn't able to relocate those same fish is my understanding.
Gotcha. It's such an interesting fishery from a standpoint of fishing it in a kayak because you have you can portage, right, in that event. And you can get out of the kayak. You can push in, push over. You can do downstream drifts. Did you guys utilize any of those techniques to do well?
I was doing what they call the single access, where you put in and, you know, you fish around as comfortable as far as you can comfortably go from your launch, and then you take out at the same launch. I think Ewing did a float.
Gotcha.
I did a float, but the way that I was doing my float, it was to where I was coming from downstream of the fish. You know how the Susquehanna, it's got all sorts of islands. I was coming on the main channel side and then swinging around and coming from downstream of the fish. So I just had to hit more places throughout the day than Nolan, because obviously he found a better population of fish.
Gotcha.
Were you guys near the Statue of Liberty?
No.
The baby Statue of Liberty. Yeah.
We're not. You got to watch my YouTube video if you want to see where we were fishing.
Well, what's your YouTube channel for people listening?
It's just my name on YouTube, Nolan Miner.
Okay.
But I got both days on YouTube. They're already up.
All right, cool. I'll check that out, man.
Yeah, the Susquehanna to me is a very interesting fishery. And it's, dude, those, Dave, I know you fish there too. Mm-hmm. Those smallmouth are vicious. Dude.
They're horrible. Vicious. Yeah, they're terrible.
They're terrible. Like, I've never seen a 2-pounder fight that hard
they're
before.
They're mean. Think about where they live.
Yeah.
You know, they live in a harsh environment.
Yeah. What were some of the patterns that worked for you guys? What was the deal? How did you catch them?
You know what that is, Mike?
Hey, Bri, zoom up on that. Hang on. Hold it right there, buddy. There we go. Check this shit
out, Mike. What is that thing?
Yeah, look
looks
at
like
that.
Looks like a spider. Looks like a spider.
Show it again, Nolan.
Just so you know, we can see you like this big from where we're sitting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you see that?
Whoa. Look at that, dude.
What is that?
It's like a cicada.
Listen.
John Cicada?
What is that?
It's a bait that Evergreen makes. It's called a gizmo, Evergreen gizmo.
Wow.
It's a floating bug. It's made out of elastomer, so it's like not quite like a Z-Man plastic. It's a little tougher than that.
Okay.
Tougher
but
than
it floats. Yeah. And, yeah, it does look like a cicada because that's what they were eating. And that's kind of how we tricked some of those bigger, wiser smallmouth in the low, clear water.
What hook are you rigging on that?
It has a hook in it. It's a number 2 hook that's already...
You can't see it from here. Oh, okay, yeah. Now I can see it that angle. Oh, okay. But, wow, that's awesome, dude.
That thing is badass.
Dude, it's less than an eighth of an ounce.
Less than an eighth?
Slightly less than an eighth. I did the math.
Wow.
Yeah, I did conversions and...
Wow.
So long rod, braid, I guess, I'm assuming, to make that cast?
Yeah, I was using a 7.2 medium light with 10-pound braid to an 8-pound trilene leader. Just some good old mono because, you know, you had to have it float fluorocarbon and kind of make it dive. I'll take that back. And you'll hear this from us a couple times because we're brothers. We're kind of button heads. Ewing started using fluorocarbon because his fish were running him around rocks, and I think he broke off one. So he, despite the fluorocarbon kind of pulling the bait down, decided that the abrasion resistance was more important. I just wanted the buoyancy, so I fished mono.
Gotcha.
Wow.
So I did have not one but 2 fish break me off during the tournament. And the second one, Nolan only gave me 2 of the gizmos because they were hard to get your hands on. He didn't have enough to just be handing them out to me. But I followed the fish around until it jumped and threw my bait, got it back. And that's when I switched to the fluorocarbon leader because I was not trusting mono around the rocks anymore.
Wow. That's pretty hardcore.
That's awesome.
Yeah, every time I try to do that, they jump and throw it, and then the bait sinks, and I never get it back.
Yeah.
You know, it sinks or it goes down current. I can't find it. Wow. That's I give you credit. You actually deserve bonus points for that, in my opinion.
Applause.
Yeah, I had a round of applause, too, for that. That's pretty incredible. Yeah.
He also doesn't have 50-year-old eyes, so he probably could
see
it.
That's true. I can't see anything.
You're right. He just, like, saw it, like, the whole time.
Yeah, I can't see anything. I'm going to ask this question. I know there's a lot of people watching that love kayak fishing. They fish the Hobies. They fish the KBF. They fish Bassmasters.
The Ike Foundation.
Ike Foundation. you guys have had a lot of success in the kayak world.
Too much.
In a short period of time. In a short period of time. You really have. I just want to hear it from you guys. Like, why do you think that is? Because I'm telling you, a lot of people are watching right now thinking, how are these kids so good on a kayak that quick? Give us some juice here. Like, what? How do you get good at kayak fishing? What makes you good at kayak fishing?
You start them early.
Yeah. Yeah. How early are we talking about?
I think Ewan was probably 8 or 9.
Wow.
I'm not sure. He was pretty young.
Yeah.
My first experience in a kayak was not a good one either.
Todd, is there a story to this?
Did we turn
well, over? I guess I can go in there. So we going down to the beach and stuff. We throw the kids out and it's slick, calm water. They can't get in any trouble. So we venture out on a summer trip down the river. We throw Ewan in the kayak and he goes down, gets lodged up on a rock. The raging current coming by him. He's never experienced that as a kid. He go out in a pond and everything's perfect. And he thought he was going to die and got his mom in the kayak. He jumped in the canoe with me and we went down the river, I don't know, several hours. And I talked to him about where the rocks were in the river, how to read the water, the currents and everything, and put him back in the kayak. He'd play for a little bit and he and his mom would switch back and forth through the day. And that was his introduction to kayaking.
Yeah, I figured it was going to be almost killed your kid moment. I figured that's where it was going.
He wasn't in danger, but yeah, he was pretty shook up about it.
I mean, Todd, you're on your way to being like the Archie Manning of bass fishing, dude.
It's awesome though. I like what you said, because I think, man, when I look at successful athletes in any sport, right, not just fishing, you always see an early introduction to the sport. You know what I mean? You see kids that have developed a passion from it from a very early age.
Well, a lot of them have badass dads.
Badass
like
dads.
Like Todd, you know what I mean?
Badass dads, yeah. or just passing that passion on.
Sure.
And if they click and they gravitate toward it, it's development of a great athlete,
For sure.
So it's cool to see that. It's really cool to see that progression, Super cool.
Athlete.
Am I saying that wrong?
No, you said it right. Thank
you guys for doing the parenting that you guys do. I keep up with some of your adventures that you post up, some fun times, and congrats to Little Vegas on his work he's doing.
Thank you. Yeah, I might, Todd, need some advice. Earlier in the show, I'm at the stage now where I'm like becoming like part dad but part coach. Like when we fish, I'm trying to teach him and coach him. Is there such a thing as being too hard on him? Like I don't know, because I'm still trying to figure it out. But
well, he threw a headset at him. He's not...
Yeah, I find myself wanting to critique stuff, but I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like hard because I'm a fish head, So I'm throwing that at him at 11, and I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah, well, I'm not a bass fisherman, so there's not a whole lot of coaching coming from me. I taught him on rivers, streams, a lot of trout fishing growing up.
Yeah.
Cool. With them. And I guess that's where the stream, being able to read the water.
Yeah.
That was a key factor this past week.
Where'd you grow up, Todd?
Southwest Virginia in Abingdon.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and we still get down there every chance we can, down around Damascus, tremendous trout waters down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beck, what do you think about it?
What do I think about it? Well, no, my question is, so if you taught them trout fishing, when did the boys transition to bass fishing? Or like when did this shift happen that you guys took more to bass fishing? And, was it always out of a kayak? Were you guys bank fishermen? Was there ever a boat involved? I mean, what was the progression here?
Well, I'm gonna say this and I'll let the boys chime in. 6 years ago today, Nolan finished second in the high school national championship.
Dang.
And that was the day that opened his eyes that, hey, I can compete with these guys.
Yeah.
It was just little local stuff up to that point. And then little brother Ewing, 4 years behind him, was starting to grab onto it in the high school club. Then there's a third brother in between the two of them. Chatted with Ronnie Moore about this earlier in the week. There's a chance that Ronnie Moore might get to cover him in the saltwater series that he's hosting now on the East Coast next year.
Very
on
cool.
In a billfish tournament that Ewan will be, or Wyatt will be competing in.
So that's pretty cool that's all coming around.
Very cool.
I'll let the boys take over from on where the bass fishing started out.
Yeah, for me, I want to say my junior year of high school was the first time that I stepped foot in a bass boat. I'm pretty sure is when that happened for me. But we were fishing for anything that had fins from, I don't know when we exactly started, very, very young. We were constantly chasing down fish, you know, however that took place, whether if it was on a pond, bushwhacking down some creek near the house, or in somebody's boat, I mean, kayak, and we kind of did it all. But yeah, I started fishing probably the same stuff. Well, I guess I didn't start as early as Vegas because he's on the junior side, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So when I started, it was the high school stuff. But I have been a boat captain probably. Were you at Carroll County Lake?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I boat captained there for some guys that that came from the same high school team as me, but this was once I was already in college.
That's pretty cool.
We've kind of done a whole bunch of once we got into the high school fishing stuff, it kind of just, you know, took off from there.
Yeah.
Where's your high school?
Central Virginia. So our high school didn't actually have a fishing team, but if your high school doesn't have a team, I think they let you, you know, if you're willing to drive to another high school, you can join their team. And so that's what we did. We fished with a neighboring county.
Nice.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I remember my first high school tournament. It was the Potomac River, Aquia, and Potomac Creek. We're limited to that. Those are the only creeks on the Potomac that I've fished that I haven't liked at all. I caught zero bass. I lost 4 pounds in the last 5 or 6 minutes on the bridge right in front of the ramp. But that was my first time ever being in a bass boat. I remember blast off, like, you know, we were in a smaller boat, seeing the rooster tails going past us. That got me all sorts of fired up to keep doing it. And my second tournament was the same place, and I caught a 4-pounder off the same bridge piling that I lost the one off of and won with one bass.
Wow. Sounds like Jersey.
One with one bass?
You know, for the takeoff, dude, the rooster tails, but also in order to have the rooster tails be majestic, you need the smell of the outboard engines also.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing. The whole thing. The noise, yep. the excitement.
Yep.
Outfall pipe.
Yeah, it's funny you said that about the rooster tail, because on Carroll County Lake, which is little, Brian, it's literally 1,000 acres. 1,000 acre reservoir is what it's called.
Is that where you were at?
Yeah, it's 1,000 acres. It's a small lake.
1,000.
But in the tournament, for Vegas and his partner Max, I purposely went as fast as I could the whole time. And I did this for that reason, because I can remember that. Like, I remember being in my
yep.
Dude, it's exciting. But I would, like, every once in a while I look over at Vegas and Max, and they're holding on for dear life.
Yeah.
Their cheeks are pushed back. You know, but I'm like, but then when we'd stop, you could see, like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But that is an exciting part
of
the sport.
I just survived, you know? Death, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still in the boat. I didn't fly out.
Right.
Half my tackle's still
– bags of Senkos just flying out the back.
Right, holding on, yeah.
It's awesome.
I was laughing. I can remember. I mean, it's 1,000 acres, but you can't run the whole lake wide open.
No.
Like, a lot of it's an idle zone, so you're moving around in some pretty, pretty confined waters.
Yep.
Yeah.
Small body of water. Well, that's awesome. An early start, the high school program, obviously, has been huge for the sport. It's amazing.
Dude, let's have our Uncle Rico moment for a second. Imagine if we had a high school team. We would have mopped this friggin' state up, dude. You know what I mean? Only if Coach would have put us in, right?
Yeah. We're wrong generation.
We would have smashed this state,
yeah,
dude.
We would have. I do want to get back, though. Guys, I want to get back to what do you feel like is one important thing that makes you a good kayak angler, a good kayak fisherman? Because I think there's a lot of people that want to know that. They want to get better. I want to hear one from each of you. Todd, too, I want you to chime in. Give me one thing that you feel like makes you a better kayak fisherman or makes you a good kayak angler.
You and you go first, because you've won more than I have.
So for me, I feel like it's really just a kayak forces me to slow down and fish the areas that I'm fishing a whole lot more thoroughly than I would with the in a bass boat.
Yeah.
I had never realized how quickly fish will reset on a point, current break, anything. Fish will reset a whole lot faster than you would think. Giving those fish an hour like you typically would, usually not the case. I've seen it, fish will reset in 10 to 15 minutes and be like they've never seen a bait again. And I think just being able to slow down, pick those areas apart, that's the main key for me.
For me, I would say we love fishing for the fact that it's fishing. Like I said, we've always fished for anything that has fins on it. So I think a lot of the reason you're maybe not seeing as many of the younger guys in it right now is because there's no $80,000 really fast boat attached to this part of bass fishing. But right. I know that there are enough people out there like Ewing and I that love fishing for what it is.
Yeah.
And I think those are the people you got to watch out for, because for some reason there's kind of a disconnect when it comes to the competing part when you don't have, you know, because it's kayak fishing, right? Because right. We were talking about on another show I went on about how can we make kayak fishing cooler. I'm like, I spent $265 for an entry fee, didn't put gas in a boat, and made $10,000. I don't know how you can make it cooler than that.
That's pretty rad.
I guess maybe there's something.
Yeah. And on top of that, I saw a video today where a whale ate two kayakers. I think it was off the coast of California.
Nice.
Anybody see that?
Thanks for that, Brian. That was...
But they survived.
Right. Yeah. Spit it back out.
Yeah.
Spit right.
it back out. They yeah, weren't baleen.
Way
like
before,
the
whale actually came up and landed on a boat. So kayak doesn't need to be beat up in that topic. Boats
you're right. But no, it actually
well
ate them.
Also.
Yeah. Todd, I'll send you the video. It actually ate them. It was pretty wrong.
That sounds crazy.
That's a good story to tell at a bar, you know?
And it was two girls and they got spit out.
Wow.
Like Jonah.
Huh.
From the whale.
How about that?
Or the great fish.
Yeah.
You know, I would answer that question. Who wants to make kayak fishing awesome? Look at regular. Every asshole now has a bass boat flying across the water everywhere.
Right.
You can't be anywhere without somebody zooming past you.
Right.
Let's keep the kayak thing quiet. Yeah. Go win your 10 grand with your $265. Don't tell nobody. Stop talking about it. You're wrecking it for everybody.
It's growing, though. I mean, those Hobie events. I stress out when I have to do the sign-ups because Mike's like, it opens at 9 a.m. And I'm on there because within minutes.
You can't get in.
Within minutes. Yeah. I mean,
is that right?
Yeah.
I thought I would have some leeway because, you know, I've been working with Hobie for like 8 years now, you know?
Yeah, diplomatic immunity.
Yeah, something, you know? Yeah. And talk to the guys over there to like, nah, you got to register the same way.
You're a civilian.
Everybody has
to
register. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll do it. You know, I don't want any favors. You know what I mean?
Mike doesn't do it.
I don't do it. So I give it to the ladies to do. Right. I don't do it. But here's the thing, and I'm glad you brought the money thing up. Dude, it's amazing to me, Dave. Listen to me on this.
I'm listening.
There are professional kayak anglers out there right now. Like, that's their job, right? There are guys that do this all three series. And they're making they're clearing $50,000 a year in winnings. That's incredible. We have a daughter that just graduated LSU. Todd, you know what it cost to send her to LSU? You don't want to know.
Don't have a clue.
You don't want to know. It was horrible. It's horrible. I'm still hurting. She got a job right out of LSU.
Don't say what she makes.
Well, I'm just telling you. But you could potentially make money fishing the kayak series. That's incredible to me. I'm stoked that this is getting to a point where you could do this professionally.
Why don't we just stop trying to grow the sport and just keep it quiet for God's sake?
There's
enough people. We got enough. We don't have to grow no more.
But you know what?
Let's zip it up.
Can I tell you something that does frustrate me? There are so many snobs, though, that think that if you have a bass boat, you must be a better angler than someone in a kayak.
Because you are.
That's not true.
It's not true.
All right.
That is not true.
And they also have tiny penises.
Come on.
The bass boat guys or the kayak guys?
The guys that think that the boat means
something. There is such a...
Yeah. Have you guys experienced any of that? Like that negativity?
Guys with tiny penises?
Yeah, that negativity of big boats when you're in kayak fishing. I actually have a little bit. I had a little bit.
In a kayak?
In a kayak.
By a bass boat guy?
Not by a bass boat
guy. Oh, damn it.
But by big boat guys that, you know.
I need a bass boat guy to just see one on a
not
kayak.
Not a bass boat guy, but big a big boat guy.
Is that rain?
Beck just heard rain.
Ah, my windows are down, dude.
I've only had one run-in with a boat that was tough, but I haven't fished near as many tournaments as Ewing has. I'm sure he'll have more than what I have to add. But basically, the reason that I feel like it was so bad, we were at Toledo Bend this year in February, and I was fishing a secondary point in a creek. You know, it's not a huge spot. And I had to say to the guy, hey, man, can you just – turn the other way because I'm casting right there and you're gonna run over my line.
Yeah.
So I feel like I shouldn't have had to say that because I was there. He was not there when I started there. He, you know, drove
right.
in. And but for the most part, I don't know. I think people just need to communicate on the water. So if I'm going down the bank and I see a bass boat, I'm gonna say something to him, not in a, you know, confrontational way. Just hey man, I'm trying. You know, I'm gonna keep going down this way if you want to go around this way or whatever.
Yeah.
I think the problem is, a lot of kayak guys already hate bass boat guys, and bass boat guys have this hate for kayak guys. So, like,
right.
two guys pass each other in a creek, don't say anything. And then later in the day, oh, this dude cut me off.
I think actually it's just nobody loves to see another angler on the water. I mean, let's just
That's
be
it.
Honest. You never pull up to a full boat ramp and you're happy about it. You never go down a bank like, oh, great, there's 13 people on this bank. You know what I mean? Or grass bank. Let's just be real, dude. We don't want to see grow sport. It's a lie.
Yeah.
That was me on the Susky. I was like, I launched probably one of the busier ramps on the river. There's probably 40 guys that morning, maybe 30, but a good bunch of kayakers. And I get to my spot, and I had it to myself all day. I was just sweet.
Wow.
That was a lot of fun.
Was there
the
fish
next
on
day,
it?
There were guys diving on it with masks on, though, that were, like, doing something. And there was a whole John boat full of dudes wearing blue jeans that had masks and, like, fins. And
six
they were...
of them. I think they had tubes tied to the John boats so they could stay underwater for eternity.
Wait. What?
We're talking about oysters here? What are we talking about? Freshwater pearls? What do we got?
We don't know.
No, we got to find out.
It might have been on the Susquehanna. It might have been Civil War memorabilia. Gatling guns?
Yeah.
They were wearing blue jeans.
I don't know. I think these guys, they dropped on a couple of my spots. And, well, they dropped in one spot, but there was some good water right there I was having pretty good success on. And there were some catfish in the area. And I think they were just going down there playing with the catfish.
Were they gigging cats? They have.
I didn't never or? Saw a fish, but they had stayed down forever. I mean, there's like six guys standing up. I'm like, how in the world are they not turning that boat over? Big guys. And it's like a 16-foot John boat. Next thing I do, no, I look around. There's only one of them standing up, and the rest of them are gone. Underwater, gone.
Wow.
They're like, well, there goes that spot.
Wait. Like,
this could be a sitcom.
Mask and snorkel?
Mask and – I don't know about the snorkel, but they would stay under forever. So I think they had, like, plastic tubing tied to the – they were breathing through that instead of a snorkel. The snorkel was a – I don't know, 20 feet of tubing going to the boat. I don't know what they were
That's
doing.
That's some Davy Jones shit.
Yeah, it was pretty weird. In blue jeans.
Huh.
In blue jeans.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Blue jeans get a lot of good work, you know? It's good work right there. Let me remind everybody watching, if you got a question for any of the miners that we have on right now, please hit us up. Paul, what do we got coming through? We got any good questions coming through, comments? What do we got?
Well, Chuck Fish says, I have a kayak and a bass boat. Should I hate myself?
That's a great comment. He wins something.
He wins something. Yeah, please.
He should absolutely self-loathe in all situations. He's correct.
Yeah, dude.
That was a great comment.
Chuck, send your information to somebody.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this, because I'm going to say it. This is bad because I'm going to get crucified.
Then don't do it.
Again?
No, I'm going to do it because I don't care. At this stage of my career and life, I don't care anymore because I just want to be honest.
Hold on.
I'm just going to say, I don't care. I'm going to ask you guys the same question. This is Ike Live. You got to be honest.
You're not allowed to have an opinion.
This is my self-destruct podcast. Tell me what I want to hear.
Right. I'll answer first. Then you guys tell me your honest opinion. I like kayak fishing better than big boat fishing. There it is. There it is. I said it.
What?
Agreed.
Dude.
Agreed.
I like it a lot more. I'm telling you. Becky knows for a fact.
Becky?
She knows. I really enjoy it. I at this stage of my life, I like it better.
He gets okay. very nice legs after a tournament.
And I get a good pump on. Guys, big boat, kayak, one over the other, equally the same. Give me your honest answer.
You think you go first?
Kayak fishing. I mean, it's there's so many more places I can take my kayak.
Yeah.
It's way cheaper. I don't have to pay for gas. You notice a lot more when you're out on the water.
It's more intimate.
You're not thinking. You don't have the big motor running. You don't have all that stuff to distract you. Aside from electronics, but you connect with nature more, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's just I've really enjoyed it, and I used to not enjoy it as much as I do now. I guess it's probably just I'm in a Hobie now, and I'm comfortable out there. I'm not paddling around. Oh, it's a great one.
Yeah. Fuck paddling.
Now, if I had hit that Mega Millions a week ago, which might be a different opinion, but I have to agree with both these guys.
Yeah.
All right.
Kayaks, I liked it better than when I had the big boat.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
You didn't hit the Mega Millions?
I didn't hit it, of course
Damn.
Not.
There is something special about
it. It's intimate.
Yeah, it's intimate. But, you know, the access, all that. But, dude, hooking a fish, let's just say a 3-pound smallmouth on the Susquehanna, right, in a jet boat versus a kayak, it's totally, dude, it's so much better in a kayak. It's so much more in your face.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Your boat's like, getting spun.
Yeah, it's more like combat.
Yeah, no, it's definitely cooler. I don't think that's an outrageous thing for you to say.
No, I agree. I've fished one kayak derb ever and spent half the day figuring it out and the other half
losing fish on the
pissing
the
excellence. No. No, I didn't lose it. But that bump board thing, that's another topic.
Bump board.
But yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I felt better the day after the tournament because I was in a kayak. The seats are super comfortable. You get the physical workout, the leg pump, and I wasn't just standing all day.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So for me, I felt better as opposed to feeling worse. Yep.
So I will take that
on a bass boat.
4 for 4. Let's go for the fifth shot. What do we got next, guy?
I guess I'm kind of on the fence. What I would say is that I miss being able to cover water because my style has always been kind of – because I fished pretty extensively in the college series. My style has always been to run around like a chicken with my head cut off. That's how I always fished the best in bass tournaments, just going very, very fast for the most part. But I wish I could be as stealthy as I am in a kayak in my bass boat, because I'm sure that you know this, Mike, it's insane when you go and fish somewhere that you would fish from a boat, how much more relaxed the fish are. I don't know if you've got forward sonar on your kayak, but you can be so much closer to the fish. They don't know you're there.
Yeah.
There's a lot more you can get away with. And, you know, fish know what a bass boat is nowadays. They all know. They're all so educated. And so if I can be where the fish are at in my kayak, love it, because, you know, it's more effective if you're where they are, but a bass boat can travel, you know, and hit a bunch of different places where they are.
Yeah. All right. So how can we get kayak guys to understand how to use a boat ramp? Or get the hell out of the way.
Well, that's not
it. Since I am, you know, I've done the boat stuff plenty and done the kayak stuff plenty, I feel like I see it from both sides. So I'm always really careful when I have my kayak to make sure I'm out of everybody's way. And it's not that hard. I don't know how to fix that one. But I personally know that I am not the guy getting in the way.
Some of these kayak guys act like they're christening a tugboat. You know what I mean? Like get that little piece of shit in the water. It don't even have pedals. Get it in the water. It weighs 25 pounds. Get out of the way. There's real people trying to fish.
went the other way. Dude, worse than that, Thursday night at DOD, there was a pop-up fiesta on the boat ramp.
There was.
There was a family. They had tents and cars parked like 30,
right on the boat ramp.
13 kids, aunts, uncles.
One car.
Grandnanas. Tequila.
Pop-up fiesta.
Yeah.
They had chicken wings.
30 people, 2 cars.
Right on the ramp.
All right. Who else?
One with a for sale sign written with soap on the rear window.
I'm going to chime in here and twist it up a little salt water. I go saltwater fishing every fall with a group of guys. I wasn't part of the original group, but I fell into it probably, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And we would always drag our boats down anywhere from a 19-foot flats boat to a 23, 25-foot V-hole to go explore in the canyon a little bit. Somewhere along the line, we decided, hey, the weather's going to be really bad. Let's take some kayaks and explore some protected waters on a blow day. And then it progressed into everybody getting, there's probably about every manufacturer of kayaks, toward the upper end of those kayak manufacturers, what they offer for us is represented on the trip. And we've ventured into slick, calm days, leaving the big boats and taking the kayaks. One of the guys that actually originally started the group up has opened up a fly shop down there, and he offers a kayak with the Torquedos on it. You go out sound fishing. You can go on sunset cruises. Really neat thing he does for everybody.
Sounds nice.
And in Manio.
Very cool.
Sunset cruise sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Very cool.
Was it OBX on the Fly? I think is the name of his shop there in Manio. If you're ever in that area, look him up.
That's cool.
Very cool.
And he's a good guy.
Let me ask you this, guys. Do you think kayaks are the answer to college fishing? I've heard that topic come up a lot, right? From a standpoint college age anglers having the ability to have a $60,000 or $80,000 boat to compete in,
yeah,
versus the easier accessibility of kayaks. Do you think that's the future of kayak or college bass?
It should be.
Kayaks?
It should be.
I don't think it's necessarily the future, but it'll definitely help get more kids on the water competing. You're always going to have kids running around in $80,000 bass boats, and you're also going to have kids that can't even afford to take a $10,000 bass boat to a tournament. So there's to have both of the options will be great. I've personally fished, I guess it was the second Hobie BOS college kayak tournament. We have a kayak team, and we've got 3 Hobie Outbacks supplied by the school. I used one of those at the Susky, but just schools will be able to provide a vessel for their anglers.
The deal right there.
That's the
who
that's
set
the
that
deal.
Up?
I never thought of that, but that is the deal. Because,
it's the deal.
Yeah, because the whole thing about, like, kids, and even in the high school thing, where they're running around in, like, daddy's bass boat.
Yeah.
Dude, we grew up fishing in a John boat on the ponds.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where it should be.
Yeah.
But no, I
like the accessibility to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just real.
Yeah.
It's more real.
Yeah.
Beck?
He keeps throwing it to you tonight. You can't let you mind your business.
Come on, Dave. I'm minding my business.
Do my thing.
Beck, we want to talk about the James Madison UVA.
Midlothian. Midlothian mudslide.
Brian really wants us all to bond over our Virginia roots is what he wants.
Yes. That's what he wants.
And then see where it goes.
Or brawl.
Where did you guys go to college? College?
Ding, ding, ding.
Go ahead.
I'm currently at Carson Newman University in Jefferson City, Tennessee. So I'm right by Cherokee and Douglas Lakes.
Okay.
I went to WVU in Morgantown.
Okay. See, we don't have to brawl. Brian's like, oh, someone's got to go into UVA because he knows that I'm anti-UVA as a James Madison graduate who's trying to start
Brian's
drama.
Always trying to start trouble over here, you know?
I'm the producer. This is what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, it was either the two big controversies tonight was either that or getting Jeff Sprague on to talk about being DQ'd. So that's better than...
He still hasn't responded.
Still hasn't responded, right.
Yeah.
So that's better.
There's still time.
So what does everybody want to do when you grow up, Nolan and Ewing, what do you want to do when you grow up? I'm about 29 and I still don't know. So, what?
Past.
So, at first, I really wanted to do, what Mike has done, and I mean, I'm going to probably hurt a lot of starry-eyed kids' feelings by saying this. I got to the point where, you know, I realized that at least for me right now and the way that the world is set up right now, it's so incredibly expensive to try to fish the opens and make it to the elites. And there are people that have the resources to make that happen, and I don't knock them for that. I would do the same thing if that was the case for me. But for now, I've always wanted to make a living fishing, and for right now, I think that the best avenue for me to pursue is probably going to be somewhere along the lines of YouTube and maybe doing something else. So right now, I work for Pure Fishing. I do some social media stuff for them, and what I really want to do is keep that going and then get YouTube going. I'm really working on YouTube, trying to treat it like a job because, as Mike knows, that's what matters these days.
Yeah.
Because I can catch fish with the best of them. Like, I've done it, and I can say that.
You've proven it.
But that wasn't really getting me anywhere, is what I, you know, started to find out. Cause I can remember when I first started fishing in college, you know, what a lot of guys would preach is, oh, catch the fish, the sponsors will come. Well, let me tell you, I caught the fish. I caught the fish in a lot of places and the sponsors didn't come. So
yeah, you're 30 years too late with your intelligence and your skills. You're 30 years too late. I think the way you're going is probably the best route now, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad you said that because I think there are a lot of misconceptions about, especially high school, college age kids, about all I have to do is fish. It's only the fishing. If I catch the fish, everything will fall into place. And it's so not true. It's not true. The fishing is only 50% of it, and the other 50% is all that other stuff. And you have to be just as good at that stuff. So I'm glad you said that. That's a good reality check for young
men. Yeah, I can't tell you how many people have qualified through the opens, and they call the sponsors up, and they're like, I made it to the elites. You're going to give me a boat, right? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
No, it's not how that works.
The elites don't even get a boat a lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ike, you were crushing me on the James with the blowing your lower unit. And I'm like, guys, that lower unit's got to last for 10 years. You can't be messing with that thing.
Yeah.
You'd be up in the shallows of the creek trying to catch some fish and win the tournament.
Yeah.
You weren't representing my family very well. It's crushing me.
I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just I do things to my boat. I do things to that boat on the James that you should never do to a bass boat.
Okay.
Ever.
Yeah. Rented mule.
Yes. It's pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Yeah. And I tell the boys, you know, when you get the sponsors behind
like
you
Mike.
To help you put that bolt in the lower unit at the end of the day, you know, we'll see if we can get up those creeks. But until then, let's take care of it.
Yeah.
You know, sponsors is key, and it's hard to get them in there.
Yeah.
Don't be like Mike.
Yeah, don't be like Mike.
Until you can be like Mike, then be like Mike.
One,
destroy that shit and
one,
get another
it was
next
okay,
day.
But what was it? I think it was three that you went through. I don't know. Maybe it was props, but I was there running around trying to, hey, I know Eric. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh. I think it was a few. It was more than two. I know that.
Yeah, it was a few. Lower units, prop shafts, props, you know, those guys at Yamaha love me and hate me, so at the service crew, you know.
Yeah. They absolutely hate you.
They hate me. They hate me because of the work side of it.
They want to sit there, laugh, joke, well, smoke a joke, and then you show up, and they got to punch the clock.
They love me, too. Listen, at Oneida this year, I caught like 50 walleye and gave them all the walleye. I mean, come on, man. That's $2 a pound.
Yeah, it's a fillet of fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks.
Here's some U-Peel
Thanks
shrimp.
For Damn it. Damn you.
U-Peel walleye.
Oh, man. I was
Mike
a second away.
Mike is actually on the Yamaha Hall of Fame for having broken his motor in a way that no one else has ever broken it.
Oh, my God. Becky, let's hear it.
Meteorite?
No, don't you? What did you crack? And literally, they sent the tech guys from Japan here.
Yeah.
From where? Japan?
From Japan.
Yeah, like they actually. Yeah,
they
pulled up in a car like Midnight Run. Like.
Yeah, they never saw it before. So they, like, I mean, I'm talking about like a day later.
Yeah.
Like, think about what that cost, right? You know, like.
A day later they showed up?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like they beamed them in.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what you cracked.
Front flipped into the place
some
like.
Main, I can't remember what it was.
Either. I don't remember either. But they showed up, and I mean, they didn't speak a lick of English either. I didn't hear that. What did you say?
So they front flipped like.
Hey!
they did that.
No, they
didn't do that. But they did a lot of that. Well, they didn't speak a lick of English, but they did a lot of bowing. They did a lot of, they were bowing at me. They were bowing at the motor.
There was a front flip.
They were bowing at everybody.
They were not bowing at Mike.
Somebody cracked him with a bow staff.
They bowed at the motor. They bowed at me. I remember a couple height. There was a lot of height.
So what did you break?
Head shaking. I can't remember. Oh. I cracked something.
No, it was some main support piece that
never breaks.
That has never broken.
Sure. It's an elevator shaft, and he broke it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Sorry, guys.
Straight through the metal. It was this huge piece of metal, and you cracked it. Yeah. I remember seeing it. We're like, that can't be good.
Yeah, that's all right.
Some poor schlep bought that boat off us.
Oh, God. So,
never buy one of my boats.
Oh, my God.
I did take this was a Johnson 150 Fast Strike. Back in the day when I had my Ranger 374V, the one I won, my first bass boat, I was fishing Bugs Island, Kerr Reservoir, in the fall, and it was low that year, and I was running up the – I can't remember if it was the Roanoke – I think it was the Roanoke side.
It doesn't matter.
Whatever the right side of the river is there, and I was in an Everstart. Dude, I was like in third place on the last day.
Clarksville?
Yeah. And I was running back out of there on the third day with like 15 pounds of fish, and I hit something so hard. It spun the boat out, and as soon as I hit, it spun out. I smelt lower unit fluid.
Ooh. Yeah.
And I was like shook up. My partner was shook up. And I remember like trimming the motor up. And when I trimmed it up, there was no foot on it whatsoever. It had sheared the bolts completely off and the lower unit was gone. There was nothing there. I didn't make it back. It was really depressing because I wanted to do well in that tournament. And I lost the whole last day.
Oh my God!
That's your buddy Gavin. That story.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
They talk about they watch the skag go skipping across the water like it was a kid on a bank throwing a rock.
Dang!
Really? who saw this?
But Colonel.
It was some of my friends from my high school fishing team. I guess they were on the Potomac River and hit a rock pile. And the kid that was fishing with him said that when they hit it, he looked over and he saw the skeg skipping across the water like a rock.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
That's great.
That's awesome.
I mean,
can't do that in a kayak.
Nah, you can.
You can bend the fins a little bit, but that's you definitely bend them fins, but you ain't skipping nothing.
Daggone right.
Torquedo, maybe. No.
Hey, back to the river. Mike, you ever thrown a floating bug at smallmouth, like sight fishing them on purpose?
I have thrown a lot of baits to imitate mayflies and cicada, but not that. Like, honestly, I'm looking at that, and that is super, super badass.
Pretty neat.
That is so awesome. So my cure has always been when they get on that bug bite, the mayflies or the cicadas, is always a clear or a black popper. Straight black popper, black tail, straight clear popper, black tail has always been my a way that I've caught a lot of fish when they're eating bugs. But dude, that thing looks badass.
It's a neat bait.
Like I'm literally right. I wrote it down already. I'm gonna order some. That's badass.
Well, you're not gonna be able to get any because they're gone everywhere right now. But what you can do, fishing online. My buddies at Fishing Online, they have some. They didn't come in Friday. They thought they were going to get them in Friday, but I think on Monday they're going to get them in. But honestly, right now, like Tackle Warehouse sold out, Tackle Direct sold out. I think I saw some on Amazon. If you want to pay like $17 for them, you can find them on there right now. But somebody definitely has taken advantage of this situation that's now selling them for that. They're hard to find because of the little thing we did.
Yeah, have you thrown it during the mayfly hatch too? Does it work just as good there?
I don't know. This is something that we kind of stumbled upon. We knew the water was going to be really low and clear. And so my buddy guides on the New River in Virginia, and he was saying, I talked to him a long ways before the tournament. I was like, hey, man, tell me some summertime smallmouth stuff. You know, I've done it a lot, but I just wanted to pick his brain. He was like, man, my fly rod clients catch the biggest ones in the summer when the water's really low. Like by far, those guys, you know, even if they're not catching as many, that the average size for them, those are the only guys that are really catching the great big ones when the water is low.
Yeah.
So I was just going to take a fly rod because I know how to fly fish. And then I saw this thing online. I was like, well, let me order some of those. And then me and dad took our kayaks to a river near home a week before the tournament to test it out, and it worked really well. And I was like, oh crap, I need to get more. And so I did. And then we crushed them on it.
You better tell whoever runs that company, you better get it, get production up, because pretty soon you're going to see like a Berkeley cicada in production.
Well, see, I'm trying to work with somebody to get that happening, but my buddy,
a prototype,
powder, too neat for him. So maybe we can change his mind. Yeah. But for now, I don't know. I want to make a better bug, but we'll see.
He better find somebody, because you're going to see Mike fishing a prototype real soon, dude.
Love that word, prototype. Prototype. Paul, we got anything else that has come through? Anything for the guys? Anything? Answer on Becky? What that means in street language yet? Did we get the right answer for that?
Paul, do you know the answer to that?
No, I don't. The only answer involving that was Becky ... white young white woman.
Watching you fix his mic, Brian. I don't even know how to react to that. I don't even know what to say, dude.
Fixing Paul's mic.
He's a control freak.
It's almost like it's almost
I got
like
a job to do, guy.
But it's
what
almost,
are you talking about?
It's almost like in Swamp Thing where that one evil professor had that experiment that went wrong and he was always messing with him, dude. Leave him alone. Let the mic just sit where.
All right.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Boy.
Back to you, Paul.
Back to you, Paul. All right. Well, hey, guys, here's what I want to know. So. And you guys answered a little bit already, but
we still got another guest to get to too.
I know. What's next? What's next? You've really taken the kayak world by storm.
Win more.
Todd, you gonna have more kids?
Yeah, Todd, more kids. No, what's next, no, guys? What's next?
Yeah.
Nolan Ewing.
Todd,
next?
Eliminate more chances for the rest of us to win. Go ahead, Todd, have more kids.
Yeah. I can tell you exactly what's next, and that's me in first and Nolan in second.
Damn, Nolan,
yes,
first, you last.
Brotherly love.
I know.
Dude, look at Ewan with all the plaques behind him.
I know.
He looks like he's in the old Like Live studio.
I know. It does look like the old Like.
Although I do want to know, as brothers, like, I'm sure you want to support each other, but there has to be a little jabbing from time to time.
Heck yeah.
You know, there's got to be a little competition here.
This year we've fished four events together now, and he hasn't got me yet, and I know he really probably wants to get me more than any of those checks mean to him, and it'll happen eventually, but we're just trying to look at it from the standpoint of we can work together in these tournaments and put ourselves miles ahead of everybody else if we can just, you know, not worry about the competing with each other factor, because the way I look at it, you know, there's 200 guys in the field. Me and him sharing information is just going to help us. We really need to be worried about everybody else, not each other. At this last one, he's already won a couple, so it was okay for me to win, you know, and him to get second. Now, from now on, I think it'll be a little different. But
did he slingshot you in for that win? Know,
that's what I got for that. But go ahead, Ewing, if he was going to say anything.
Dad was rooting against him on that one anyway.
From now on, I'll just have to make a little bit better of decisions and make sure that I can call past him instead of just in the second.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
It was on my bait.
Yeah, hats off to Todd. My man, you did a great job with your boys.
Yeah.
They're awesome kids.
It is cool. I mean, it's very inspirational, guys. You know, to see two young guys doing well and you have a head on your shoulder, and it's good. It's good. We need that in the sport. So despite what Dave says, we want to grow the sport.
We
want to get more,
no,
more
we don't.
Kids.
No,
we've
done enough of these people already. There's enough rods sticking out of everyone's.
You guys are doing a good job. You guys are good role models. So it's awesome to see it. And congrats on first and second.
But they do it the right way too, man.
Yeah. That's important.
They're doing it the right way.
Yeah.
100%.
Super important.
Yeah. Less H crates and more no freight. Stay off the lake.
Less H crates. Wow. What, it took an advertising for like a year to come up with that.
I went into the back pond at DOD the other night after I passed you in Vegas. There was like three freaking kayaks back there splashing around.
Yeah.
Like,
son
of a bitch.
Like they're on rapids. Like rowing like they were fighting for their life.
They were all throwing full-size whopper ploppers.
They were?
Yeah.
Oh, you saw it?
Well, we were there.
Okay.
I fished at deep thing, and then I went in there because it didn't work, and then I came back.
We actually need to focus more on production. We grew the sport enough. Yeah. We've grown past what we can produce.
Yeah.
Let's stop telling people about fishing. Let's start telling the people to make the shit, make more.
Yeah.
Make more stuff.
Okay.
Because we can't even get the thing this kid won with.
Well, that's true.
Let's make more stuff. People, go raise golfing. Your kids. Be responsible. Get off the water. It's my day off, too. Go do something else. All right? Let's get the manufacturers to make more shit so we don't have to wait for it so long.
Well, I agree with
all
that.
All right?
I would like that to get back to normal.
How about that?
You know?
Yeah.
For a change.
I would. Guys, thanks for coming on the show. It was awesome to have you on. Dave is very pleasant as usual. I wish you guys a lot of luck in the next event. You guys, I guess the next Hobie event is Dardanelle.
Yeah.
Correct?
It's Wolf and Fox, but there's like Wolf 40 Fox. People signed up for that one or something. So it's next one that I'm kind of looking at would be Dardanelle. I see you're on there, and I'm coming in hot to beat you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yes.
Get it, yo.
I love it. I love it. Man, if I finish in the top 20, I feel like I've won. You know what I mean? In the Hobie events. Dude, it's stout field.
You got to get Vegas out there to work with you.
Dude, Vegas is he can do it. He's 11. I'm definitely going to get him there.
How old do you have to be?
I don't 15? Know. Is there an age, guys? Is there an age? Is it 15? 15, 16? Is that
what
it
is?
I don't know.
Well, you won at 19 or something, right?
I don't think there's an age limit on when you can start fishing the Hobies. I think they used to have like a junior series, because I know one of my buddies, Jackson Orr, he used to fish the junior side, but I think it's all just in one now.
Wow. I think Vegas is a couple years, 2, 3, 4 years away. I think when it gets into his teens... 14,
he just
15.
Doesn't have that stamina yet to be able to do a kayak that many days in a row.
Todd, I think you should write like a sports dad book that translates across all sports, dude, because you've raised a couple of savages, man.
Yeah, that'd be good. Make a little side coin on it. I know a good publisher if you want to do it.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Send him over.
Yeah. Well, guys, good luck in the next events, and thank you for coming on the show. It was great talking to you.
Thank you, guys.
It's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank y'all. Have fun with your next guest. I'm buddies with them. They're good dudes.
Hell yeah.
We will. Appreciate it, guys.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Yes.
Hopefully I get to see you on Dardanelle.
We'll see you there for sure.
All right. See you.
All right. Bye, guys. Bye, guys.
Yes.
Miners, everybody.
Miners.
I wonder if, like, the rest of the business world is seeing the same level that we're seeing in the fishing world of how further advanced people are at their age versus when – the Titans were that age.
Right. I bet you they are.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
So the Titans of industry, right? When they were 19, 20, 21, like these kids, right? The level of knowledge these 19, 20, 21 had versus what we had, it's not even close.
No, they got a lot more knowledge.
They have so much more knowledge than we do. They have so much more positional and situational awareness than we did.
They definitely do.
So how about in like the business world? Is it translating the same way? For the killers. These kids are killers. I'm not talking about the average jerk-off millennial sitting on his ass. I'm talking about, like, the go-getters, like these kids. Yeah. Like, are they seeing that in the business world? Like, man, we were not like this when we were 20. You know? I don't know. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, what were you into when we were 20? Let's not talk about it.
I was watching Beavis and Butthead.
Yes.
South
Park.
Getting a half chub on Baywatch.
Half chub.
You're right.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
That was back good Pam Anderson back in the day.
Yeah, but let's be
real
honest. When we were younger and you were 20, you weren't told, like these kids are now, that the world is your playground. You can do whatever you want. You can have a job making money, whatever makes you happy.
Now,
you know, live your happiness. We were told, like, get a job, work your way up.
Told
and
you not to be stupid, you moron.
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
There weren't.
Yep.
There wasn't this whole mystical, like, you can be anything. You can post yourself on social media and make six figures.
Like, yeah. Like, you come home with a depressed look, and your mom's like, what happened? You're like, I got in trouble at work. She's like, what you do, stupid?
Yeah.
It wasn't like, what, you know what I mean? Not like now, like, what they do to you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What did you do, you dumbass?
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I guess that's different. I don't know. They're definitely more advanced and smarter than we were. And they're kinder.
They're definitely kinder.
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone says.
No, they're kinder.
We were way assholes.
They're definitely way better people.
Oh, no. Please.
Rhombus chorus.
I see my son with his friends.
They don't even have the ability.
I'm
to
like,
be his...
wow, you didn't, like, I'm saying, like, you didn't say anything about that? Like, how you let him roll with that, dude? Like, you
know? Yeah, you have been shamed.
Yeah.
You have been instantly
like,
shamed.
I mean, like, even our weakest link would have said something like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you know? Like, McGraw would have called you out and been like, oh, yeah, I don't know, but if you should do that, you know?
Even McGraw.
Like, up here at my altitude, I don't think you should...
From up here, it looks like.
Yeah.
You know what hasn't changed? This show is just as bad as the day that we started. We have not progressed at
we
all.
Have not.
How can we, though?
I think we've progressed.
And the poor people who come on that we're interviewing basically just have to listen to us talk.
They do.
Like,
the poor miners suffered through that. I know. That was sad.
They're great people.
Yeah, they are.
They were awesome. Let me say this, though, before we take commercial
break. Great. Becky? And I, outstanding look back on, and you're right.
Yeah.
We've actually gone down a little bit.
Yeah.
We were like,
Did we even have to self-deprecate that way? I don't even know.
Let me say this real quick.
I was feeling pretty good.
Let me say this super quick. And I didn't bring it up. I didn't bring it up when they were on there.
Paul?
Because I felt a little strange bringing it up. But I do want to say this real quick.
Uh-oh.
What I said about the going to a Toby event and if I finish in the top 20, I feel good. I feel accomplished.
Sure.
Because, you know, what they said, they work together. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's totally legal. And I'm happy for them. They work together. But, dude, that happens in the kayak world nonstop, right?
Yeah.
There's four guys,
there's
six guys, 10 guys that work together.
Yeah, there's fire teams.
It's very, very hard to compete with that. In the grand scheme of things, as the professional league, you know, grows in kayak fishing, I don't think that's right. You know, it's an individual sport. If this was a team, it happens in the elites too.
It's happened in the,
I know.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about that later.
I know. But
yeah, I'm ready for that too. I have some opinion.
And I'm not downing any accomplishments that these guys or anyone that worked together has made, but it's tough because, you know, I'm going in, I get 2 days of practice, and I'm not working with 30 guys, you know?
Right.
So it's tough.
Yeah.
I think as the sport advances, I think they need to get rid of that, you know?
See, I don't know, because I
would... You still do it on the elites, though. Like, we haven't set a precedent.
I think the elites need to get rid of it.
Yeah.
This is an individual sport. If it's a team sport...
But how do you get rid of it? You can't police it. You can't police it.
I don't know.
Have we no integrity?
I don't know.
Well, we have no integrity. That's obvious. People,
I'm
individuals
just saying, if
have
it's a
no
team
integrity.
Tournament.
No, I'm
Vegas
with you.
Vegas and I fished
not,
a team
I'm,
tournament.
Yeah.
Him and his partner a week ago fished a team tournament. Perfect. Go for it. If it's an individual competition,
how
are you going to be working with 2, 3, 4, 6 dudes?
Yeah.
I will tell you, it has annoyed me because I have listened to people on stage who have made that top 50 cut at the elites this year, and they've said, well, thanks to my good friend so-and-so, I wasn't on any fish, but they saw me and gave me this spot, and I made the cut. And I'm like,
well,
Mr. 51, or well, okay, so
yeah,
47,
you're right.
You know what I mean? Just worked their butt off all by themselves, found the fish that they found, and because your friend gave you those fish on that day, that dude just got knocked out of the cut, and he had to listen to you say that.
But that's why I might be in the minority when I read about Sprague's disqualification. Like, are we like, what are we talking about? Like, if you get information 2 days after you're not supposed to, like, all them other guys were okay, but you, because it was a few days later, all of a sudden now you're a bad guy? That's fucking stupid. It's either information or no friggin' information at all, period. And we've had this conversation before.
Well, there are rules, right? And the rules say once the schedule's released, no information.
I get it.
But there are rules.
But then other anglers can give you information in the tournament.
In your league, but you can't go reaching out to people in the other league.
I guess, dude. I find it silly.
What about the Justice League?
I find
league?
It silly. I find it all silly, the Justice League.
I would ask Batman.
Well, here's
the Wonder Twins where
Dave,
the stumps are.
Dave, no Batman. Where the fish at?
It might be silly, but that dude might, you know, knows the rules and still did it. And that and knowingly broke them rules, busted them rules, lied about knowing when the cutoff is. I mean, how are you going to compete against somebody like that?
How are you going
to? You're going to follow the rules, but they're not. Now, you're at a disadvantage because you're following the rules.
So I can't.
That's where the problem is.
I can't argue that. And I can't.
Well, but and that's the thing. It's a really tough to enforce rule, right? And they have to decide, because it's either like have them and enforce them. And when you have the, and this is the thing that we're going to get into later, but when the rules are there and the league does not enforce it or does not announce that somebody broke that rule, and it's been going on, right? We all in this room know, people listening may not know, but it's been going on, and they just dust it under the rug.
And here's what happens.
They dust it under the rug. Dude pays a little bit of a fine and keeps moving on. What's to stop them from continuing to break the fucking rules?
We should just shame everyone.
So here's,
but when you put that shit out there,
that's what we do in the Northeast.
And you affect
their
career and their ability to get their sponsors and to make their living, they're going to be more inclined to follow those rules.
And you guys correct me if I am out of line with this. Interrupt me immediately. These leagues, when their faces are using guides before the cutoff, and they're getting all this information.
But they can't because they don't know the schedule for next year. As soon as that schedule's released, it's no information.
How come none of the faces ever get penalized for anything?
This was the first step.
I'm just
saying.
This
was the first time
why is it
that
always
the league has announced a penalty for a major top end.
But it's
angler.
Special teamers that always seem to always get the bite in the ass.
All right, Mike's bored. Let's go. Move on.
I'm not bored. I do want to say this. I think this is where Major League Fishing went wrong from the get-go, is when they had the cups, it was the purest level of competition out there.
You didn't know where you were going.
You didn't know where you were going. You'd show up at a place with no, there was no way to get in.
I agree with that.
Ray Scott started that shit with the Classic.
I love that format. Now it's totally gone. They don't even have cups anymore.
Yeah.
And they got the dumb crest tournaments or whatever they are.
Well, besides that.
Yeah. But, you know.
Last guy picked for dodgeball.
Yeah. Last guy picked for dodgeball. Yeah. All right, let's take a break because I am excited to get our next guest on.
Yes.
What do you think?
They're queued up and they're ready.
They're queued up and ready. Okay. Listen,
they're doing keg standers right now.
Are they doing keg standers?
Absolutely.
That's pretty
standers?
Cool.
Keg stands.
Standers.
What?
He said standers.
What's a stander?
Mike, like you're doing a stand and then standards? You're like pluralizing because you did more than one. He standard it.
Why are you defending him?
All right.
Because I understood what he said.
All right, listen to me. Hang in there with us. We got two great guests coming up. We got Illuminati coming on.
Illuminati.
Not the Illuminati.
Illuminati.
Deep
we got,
State. We're
going
to be deep
Dave
state.
Is going to be interviewing the Illuminati.
I'm going to take out the Deep State next episode. Stay tuned.
God.
Hang in there with us. We come back. More like live in the Illuminati.
Where's Alex Jones?
You know, right now where we're standing, we're in Camden, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is right there. This is the concrete jungle. And, you know, a lot of those kids, as they grow up, they don't fish. It's interesting because they're surrounded by water. You know, the Delaware River, the Schuylkill, ponds, city park lakes. But they don't have the influence to cast, to fish, to have a rod and reel. And that really, that became our focus, you know, is to target kids in what we call non-traditional areas, you know, urban areas, city centers, where the population's high, and let these kids have an experience. You know, it's amazing. I mean, some of the experiences we've had, whether it's Central Park in New York City, here in Camden, other parts of the country, even just casting.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to see it, isn't it?
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And you know, you see these kids have this experience they've never had, and they light up, you know? The big thing, I think, for the Ike Foundation is we're not saying we want all these kids to become professional anglers.
No. It'd
be great if some of them did, but we want them to have that fishing experience because it ties them to so many other positive things. The outdoors, nature, conservation, ecology, you know, all these amazing things in life that maybe they wouldn't have been exposed to any other way, we're trying to help with that. So it's important. It's important for us. Yeah. We're proud of it.
Four and a half inch drop shot worm, Bama bug. Finesse jig, PB&J, give me something hard. Hey, KVD here. I didn't always know this much about fishing, 4-0 EWG worm hook. In fact, there was a time when I couldn't tell the difference between a jerkbait and a stickbait. But then I signed up for Mystery Tackle Box, the original monthly tackle subscription. And now I know more about fishing than I do about Calculus.
And he knows a lot about Calculus.
Plus, I get amazing extras like free fishing magazines. October 2016. Featured article, 4 places to throw a frog. Exclusive decals. Zombie bass. And how-to videos for all the great baits I receive. How to tune a crankbait. Is that underwater footage I smell?
I got goosebumps.
So if you're looking to develop enhanced fishing abilities like me, or you just like getting new tackle every month, go to MysteryTackleBox.com and get your box today. Ooh, live minnows. Is it lunchtime already? Nature's candy.
At Founders Brewing, we asked ourselves, what if we brewed a beer perfect for any occasion? A beer that makes a weekday feel more like the weekend. And the weekend feel more like an adventure. What if we brewed a beer that brought us together and allowed us to be ourselves? A beer that is just as much of a companion as it is a reward at the end of the journey. What if we explored the unknown together and found a new way? What if we celebrated taste and flavor and life's simple pleasures? And what if we brewed a beer that could go where you go without slowing you down? What if? Founders All Day IPA. Low ABV and full flavor that goes where you go. Chase your what if.
All right, Brian. Torquedo today. We've got the Ike Live Tiny Boat out. I want to tell you, this is not just for electric-only reservoirs. It's for other things as well. Today is a great example. Where are we? What are we going to take this thing through today?
The Upper Susquehanna.
Upper Susquehanna River.
That's right.
Current, rock, lots nasty bottom, yep. And we're going to use Torquedo.
Everybody else running jet drives. We've got the rock guard on the Torquedo. We're going to some small spots.
Yeah.
Get in there. We're going to make it happen.
There you go.
Let's go.
Shallow water, speed, strength, power. Come on. Let's
consistency.
Go.